listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Tuesday episode. We are going to talk very briefly about Gen season. We are going to talk briefly about my Vegas party. I finally got around to listening to Jacqueline Trumbull's podcast with the dissociative identity disorder patient. I've got some thoughts. I hope you all listened as well, or a lot of you did. Man, we're going to talk about 90210 having a convention this past weekend in Pittsburgh. Curious if anybody went. And a little bit on Travis and Taylor that I was wrong about. Something that I talked about heading into last weekend at Coachella. And we'll get to all that momentarily. Okay, so you know if there's Bachelor Nation news, I'm going to start out with it. Something that I didn't tease in the open that I completely forgot is Teresa also took to Instagram yesterday to address the breakup. And I'll read that her Instagram caption to you in a second. As for Jen's season, I'm starting to hear rumblings for the first time, starting to hear things. And nothing that, again, that is confirmation of anything. And that's what sucks. But I have started hearing things. This weekend is when they head to their first U.S. city. So once they get there, I'm hoping to know how many are left, because I think it is the episode before Hometowns, but there's still a possibility it's not, and it's the second to last episode before Hometowns. Obviously, if I find out the number of men that are in the U.S. city this weekend, we'll know. If it's more than eight, then they still have another city to go to before. If it's seven or less, that means that that'll be the last city before Hometowns. Started filming on March 28th. It usually takes a month to go from however many you start with to Final Four. And then it takes 3 weeks to go from four down to one. It's the way the show has always worked. So they're not leaving the U.S. city. I believe they leave on the 24th. They're there from the 21st to the 24th. So I think there might be another city before Hometowns. But we won't know for sure until this weekend, and I'll see if I can get some answers. But I'm expecting to have a little more information that I can share hopefully later on this week. There are no guarantees. Don't hold me to that. I'm hoping that is the case, though, and I'll fill you in if I do hear anything. So as I didn't tease in the open but came up that I wanted to mention, I forgot to put it in my notes, but we'll talk about it now, is that Teresa from Gary and Teresa took to her Instagram yesterday and left this message for everybody. To everyone who has expressed love, support, and kindness to me, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You are all such wonderful human beings. It means the world to me that you took the time to reach out to me, whether in person, on the phone, by text, or by direct message. You all are so kind to do so. For everyone else who is confused and angry and who does not understand, please try to find it in your heart to understand and to try a little kindness. Not just for me, but for the world and for everyone you encounter. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my life, something I never expected to happen at this point in my life, and I truly thought it was going to last forever. It turns out, even at the age of 70, you don't know everything. Sometimes things don't go the way that you planned, and that's okay. I take so many positives away from this experience, but mostly and above all, the incredible friends I now have in all these amazing, wonderful women, and in Angie and Jenny, Peyton and Charlie, the producers, the production crew, and so many of you. I ask you to please stay open to all the experiences, opportunities, and love that may come your way. Keep smiling, keep laughing. I will. Love you all. It's a very, very interesting post to make for your very first statement after announcing your divorce and not even mention the man you divorced. She gave a lot of praise to a lot of people, and not once did she mention Gary. And she even threw out the sentence, "I truly thought it was going to last forever." I don't think it's really speculating and making wild guesses or wild speculation that this breakup had much more to do with Gary than it did Teresa. She literally just said, "I thought this was going to last forever." okay, then why did it end after 3 months? And it's not like, like I said, she's, I get what she's saying. You know, for everyone else who is confused and angry and who does not understand, please try to find it in your heart to understand and to try a little kindness. Well, it's kind of hard to stand when we understand when we don't know the full story. So it's very easy for her and Gary to say, hey, please try and understand us and our breakup. It's like, well, you've given us really nothing, so it's hard to understand it. We can accept it and not throw wild speculation and call you names and all that, but don't tell us to understand it when it's very hard to understand given what you have given us. We wanted to be closer to family. We couldn't find out where, we couldn't figure out where to live. Looks like one of these parties wanted to stay together and the other one didn't. And she didn't even mention Gary's name once in her first statement since this. Like, it's not, I don't think it's hard to figure out here. But for me, it just sounds like, and I'm not going to, like, again, have this wild speculation, but I think it's clear to a lot of people who watched the GMA interview, who just listened to the Instagram caption that I read of her, they had some communication issues, for sure. I don't think that's far off at all. And obviously we know communication is a very important part of all relationships. And they didn't have the greatest communication because you sat there on the GMA interview and told everybody that you were still in love with each other, but yet you were cheering for the other one. But you're a married couple. You weren't just dating. You were married. You were legally married, and you gave up after 3 months because you couldn't figure out where to live? It's, you know, they don't owe us anything more than what they've already given us. But even just by that Instagram post by Teresa, I think as we get farther removed from this, we'll probably start hearing more things. What those things are, I have no idea. But I got to believe we're going to start hearing some more stuff. I mean, the woman just came out and said, I thought this was going to last forever. And never mentioned Gary's name in her post. Very, very bizarre. So something I haven't talked about in a while, and we are less than 2 months away, is the Vegas Fan Appreciation Party this year, number 8. It's the 8th year I've had it. I started it in 2015. There was no party in 2020 or 2021 due to COVID. So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 22, and 23. Those were the 7 years I've had the party. 2024 will be number 8. It is going to be at the Venetian Hotel, at one of their restaurants. And I can say right now, I've been sold out for about 3 weeks. I do not have any spots left. Now, about 2 weeks before the event, I'm going to take a final roll call of everybody who has RSVP'd. If people cancel, or if, you know, they say they can't make it anymore, then spots might open up. But with 2 weeks to go, I'm guessing it might be tough for somebody that's out of state to make it. I will update you about 2 weeks to go if there are any spots that opened up. But as I told you this year, the pricing is a little bit different because I'm dealing with the hotel. I'm not having it in my room and having it outside catered. I'm doing it at a restaurant, at a hotel, so they need an exact headcount. And if I go over by one, I get charged double. So that's not going to happen. I cannot go over 100 people. And right now I'm at 99. And I'm waiting to hear back from one other person on whether they are in or out. So technically, I might have one spot available, but, you know, it's just tough right now. But we're going to have food there. Open beer and wine bar. The good thing is this year, because when I've ordered it in the past, the beer and wine bar, that outside catering service just brought beer and wine along with, you know, sodas and waters and stuff like that. But because this is a restaurant, they will have hard alcohol available. You would just have to pay for that separately. But beer and wine is on the house. If you do want to drink something else, then they will take, you can pay for that at the bar. But beer and wine bar for the full 3 hours of the party. Looking forward to it. There will be a raffle once again, as there has been the last few years. We're going to have cash prizes. We'll have chips given out. Maybe we'll have some donations from people that I can get. If not, it'll just be cash prizes. And, there will be some merchandise where you will have access to purchase something off of the website for free if you win anything in the raffle. And I'm not going to bring the merchandise and hand it out because somebody that wins might not have the right size. So basically what I'll do is I'll get your information. I'll just ask you what you want and I'll just order it and send it to you. So there's going to be merchandise. There's going to be cash prizes, and there will be also restaurant gift cards and also gambling chips to give out as well. So just know that. Looking forward to it. This is party number 8, and it's always a good time. Can't wait to see everybody. Looking at the guest list right now, I think 25% of the people that are coming have been to one of the parties before. Some of you have been to 4, 5, even 6 of them. But it's tough for me with the names. Some names I recognize, some names I don't. But there's definitely a few that have been there quite a few years. But I don't have any spots left as of right now. I'll know with about 2 weeks to go if anything opens up. And I will mention it on the podcast and probably on my website and on my social media channels. And if you are interested at that point, it's just going to be first come, first serve, because I won't have time to hold spots or anything like that. So fan appreciation party, number 8 this year. That's crazy. But looking forward to it, June 7th. In Las Vegas. As I mentioned in the open, I got a chance to listen to Jacqueline Trumbull's podcast called A Little Help for Our Friends. And her last podcast had on a patient who suffers from DID, dissociative identity disorder, which is formerly known as multiple personality disorder. And you heard me interview Jacqueline on Thursday. And I was talking to her. I was like, I got to hear this. Like, you're telling me this person has, and this patient, Molly, has 13 different personalities. And they all have a different name. And they all have different voices. Or so I thought. So if you've listened to it, you know that Molly went into a few different personalities in her head. And, you know, multiple personality disorder, not something that obviously I'm familiar with. When I see it, I've seen it on TVs and movies. And in those, you know you're watching an actor. I guess the biggest example, the biggest DID example in any sort of cinematic production or on a TV show was probably a movie from the late 90s. It might have been early 2000s. Primal Fear with Richard Gere. And Edward Norton pretty much put Edward Norton on the map. That was probably his biggest movie up to that point. It might have been his first major film, where he played a person on trial for murder who had multiple personality disorder. And, you know, spoiler alert, I don't want to spoil it for you. If you haven't seen it, go see it, you know, or stream it. Obviously, go see it like it's still playing in the theaters. No, stream it. It's really, really good. It's kind of disturbing in some parts. But it's really, really good, and Edward Norton is excellent in it, and it's got one of the best twists at the end of the movie. But you know that he played a person with multiple personality disorders, and his other personality was a guy named Roy. And when he went into the Roy, he had to be triggered. Something had to trigger him to go to that place. And it was a completely different person, talked differently than his regular character, who was up for murder, and I'm totally blanking on the name. Why do I know the name of his alter ego and his other personality, but I'm forgetting. It wasn't Alan, was it? Close. No, it was close. It was Aaron Stampler, and he had an alter ego named Roy, who was the very vicious person, and that was the one the lawyers were trying to say, you can't charge him with murder because he suffers from multiple personality disorders, and he doesn't even know what his other personality did. The other personality committed the murder, not Aaron Stampler. But there's so much, it's so much deeper than that, and there's a great twist at the end. Anyway, so I'm listening to Jacqueline's podcast, and you heard me on Thursday with her. I was like, Jacqueline, this is very hard to believe that somebody can have 13 different personalities in their head and just go back and forth between them. And then I listened to the podcast, and I got even more flummoxed by it, because when I listened to Molly go into what's his name? Gosh. Slayer. Who's this British guy who brings out like the evil in her and the one who has a temper. I'm like, she barely changed her voice. It's not a good English accent. It's not a good British accent at all. I was like, it's just Molly trying to sound different. I guess I was expecting something totally different to where it was like, I'm going to see a complete transformation when she brings out the other personalities. And it wasn't at all. It was just her. When she went into Slayer, she had a British accent. But when Molly went into Ruby, who is a 9-year-old girl, I thought she was going to talk like a baby or a talk like a 9-year-old. It was just Molly talking different a little. And I was texting Jacqueline I've already given Jacqueline my thoughts. Like I told her I would on the podcast. I don't buy it. I just don't. And this isn't like to come down on Molly at all. But when you listen to it, it was very hard to comprehend what I was listening to. And very hard to comprehend a woman on the phone named Molly who has 13 other different personalities in her head. And she says they all talk to each other and they can talk to each other and keep Molly out of it. And Molly doesn't know what's going on when Ruby and Slayer have a conversation. I'm like, what? Huh? How? It's the same person. It's the same brain. And I don't understand the whole thing about not being triggered to bring out the new personalities. Now, granted, I've been trained to think that somebody with multiple personality disorders, to bring out one of their other personalities, they have to see or feel some sort of something from their past that triggers the trauma. They were just on the phone. Jacqueline and Kibby, the two hosts of the podcast, were just on the phone with her, and they were just asking for the other personalities to come out. I really want to know anybody who listened to it. Jacqueline said she got some great downloads from it. Like, she got a real good bump in downloads. So I know a lot of you went and listened to it after listening to Jacqueline on Thursday. She thanked me for the bump in downloads. But what did you think about this? Like, to me, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't want to come down on this woman. She clearly is mentally ill, and she's probably had a horrible upbringing and a horrible life up to this point, but I wasn't buying she has 13 different personalities in her head and she doesn't know about what other people when two of them talk to each other. What do you mean they talk to each other? Huh? They can't talk to each other because you can only bring out one at a time. I'm sorry. I couldn't. And this is obviously not on Jacqueline. It's not Jacqueline's fault. It's not like I think her guests are full of shit. It was just it's hard for me to comprehend Molly and her 13 personalities. I just don't get it. And maybe I'm not supposed to get it. But if you did go listen to it after listening to my podcast with Jacqueline, let me know what you think, because I'm totally confused. This past weekend, the 90210 cast went to Pittsburgh, the Steel City Con. So they all went, and of course, Tiffany wasn't part of it because they all hate her. But yeah, Jason was there, Jenny was there, Gabrielle, Tori, Brian, Ian, and Shannon. They were all there taking pictures. I follow Ian, I follow Brian, I follow Jenny, and I follow Tori on Instagram. I saw the things that they were posting. If anybody in Pittsburgh went to it, let me know how it went. Did you talk to them? Were they cool? You know, it's not something I think I will ever go to unless I can guarantee myself multiple sit-downs with them or get them to appear on my podcast. As much as 90210 is one of my top five shows of all time and is a major part of my life and I've watched it so many times, I'm more interested in if I can talk to them, not just, hey, will you sign this? And then me wait in a line for an hour to have them sign something and then me walk away. That's not interesting to me. I want to talk to them and be able to interview them. So that'd be the only reason I would go to one of those things. But if anybody went in Pittsburgh this past weekend, let me know how it went and what the vibe was like there, how they were. I'm really curious to know. And finally, this. I mentioned this as we headed into the weekend about Taylor and Travis going to Coachella. And I'm like, that's, you know, obviously a big deal for her because she's just been so public about this relationship compared to all her other relationships combined. I mean, we've seen her out with Travis purposely in public, not just, oh, they were escaping out the back door of a restaurant to get into a car to leave. We've seen her in public with Travis more times than all of her other relationships combined, probably. But I said also, I can't believe these two are going to Coachella, but they're obviously going to be very protected. It's not like they're going to be hanging with the crowd. And fucking sure enough, there they were with, who was it? I think it was, they were watching Bebe Rexha perform. And there they were, just out in the dust bowl that is Coachella. And they were out with the crowd. And people were filming them. I didn't even see like security around them. And I guess Travis is a big enough guy where he's obviously going to protect her and whatnot. But it shocked me. It really did. I couldn't believe that they were hanging out with the crowd. They weren't in some, I mean, there were some video of them side stage making out and stuff like that. But then there was video of them in the crowd watching Bebe Rexha perform. And I'm like, wow, I mean, good for her. Good for them. I was wrong. I didn't think there'd be a chance in hell they would mingle with the commoners. And there they were. So her album comes out. The Tortured Poet Society comes out, I believe, Friday. I have it all set to download in my Apple Music. We'll listen to it this weekend. I will probably have a full review on it on the Daily Roundup on Monday. You know, I'm curious to see where this album falls. You know, I was never a huge fan of Evermore and Folklore, but the more I've seen, you know, the concert in person, the concert in movie theater, the concert on streaming, and heard more of the songs, I have become more of an Evermore and Folklore fan. They still wouldn't rank in my top four albums of hers, but I don't dislike them, or I'm not as indifferent as I was about them before. But I'm curious about this, because we know that the second this album is released on Friday, the amount of dissection of every single lyric, if I'm Joe Alwyn, I'm probably shutting my phone off starting Friday, because every single lyric is going to be dissected about, oh, is this about Joe? Is this why they broke up? Because she says in this lyric, he never took me outside, or, you know, whatever. I don't know what she's going to say in her lyrics, but you know how the way people do it. And I'm assuming some of this album was written while she was being courted or was with Travis. So that's the other thing, is going to be like, oh, she wrote this about Travis and how much he, you know, dances around the kitchen room and with her, whatever. I was trying to think of the All Too Well line off the top of my head and I couldn't get to it, but the refrigerator light in the kitchen that they're dancing around. Anyway, this is coming out Friday. I'm wondering if how early it comes out Friday, if I can actually talk about it on Friday's podcast. Yeah, there's no way I'm going to get to the whole album. So we'll have to see. Maybe I'll get to a few songs and give you my early reviews on it. But by Monday, every song will have been dissected. Us Weekly is going to have a whole breakdown. I guarantee it. I think every entertainment side is going to have a whole breakdown of every song and all the references that are going to be made to Joe Alwyn. And all the references that people think are going to be made to Travis are all going to be on that album come Friday. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review, but you got to hit play. If you miss an episode, please go back and hit play. It helps the podcast so much outside of using my promo code for any ads that I promote on this podcast. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. The Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now if you're interested in that. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. See you!